No action taken in closed session. Mr. Reck, would you please lead us in Pledge of Allegiance?
Stand. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No action taken in closed session. Student representative to the Board of Trustees. Holly?
At Lyndhurst High School, they had a choir and band spring show was on March 26th and 27th. The President's Council was on March 27th. The Senate meeting was on April 2nd, and they had a staff meeting April 3rd. They're going to have a gown distribution from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. on April 11th. They have an Easter egg hunt during lunch on April 11th. The egg hunt, there will be Easter eggs all around the campus for students to find throughout the day. They also have guess the number of jelly beans in the jar game during lunch. Students will have the opportunity to guess the amount of jelly beans in the jar to win a prize. They also have face painting during lunch, and there will be a booth where kids can get their face painted. And spring break is April 14th through the 21st. They also have a President's Council on April 24th. And at Marysville, election campaigning has started, and we are preparing for our SELC leadership training this Friday. Elections will be held the week we come back from spring break. Track and field took three athletes down to the Stanford invite, and they competed very well. Grad Night is preparing all the decorations for the safe and sober celebration following the graduation. Pennies for Patients has just concluded, and the student body gathered $76 worth of pennies. AP tests are the first week of May. Senior send-off rally is scheduled for the end of May. Prom is May 3rd, and this year the theme is Starry Night. The sophomore class made a total of $3,000 off of our Sadie Hawkins dance. The Interact Club has the National Rotary Workday on April 26th at Kynock School, and we will be painting pencils for the third graders. National FFA Day was a huge success. Channel My 58 arrived on campus around noon and interviewed our FFA officers, and elementary schools came and enjoyed the fun activities.
Thank you very much. Dr. Todd?
Recognition. Yes. This evening we're highlighting Olivehurst Elementary School, and we have Principal Jimmy Yeagers here, who is going to make three different presentations for community partners and classified and certificated and A-plus partners. So.
Thank you very much. The first group that we are going to honor tonight, and I'm going to say this right because it's E. Clampus Vitus. I know them as the Clampers. And we have two gentlemen here who are representing them and their group tonight. And honestly, for years, this group has come and provided services to our school. Any event that we've had, they have shown up. Every time we have needed somebody to get something done, these gentlemen have taken it upon themselves to show up in force. They've come out when we have done our back-to-school barbecue and barbecued for us. They've been at our other events, and quite specifically and most recently, there were, and I want to say it was 20, Jimmy, help me out, it was 23 of them actually showed up on a Sunday to help prepare our garden. Every year we have a morning in the garden where all of our students come out and participate at this event. And these gentlemen, 23 of them on a Sunday, showed up because another individual that I will talk to you about in just a little bit was unable to do what he has done for us for years. And these gentlemen took it upon themselves to come make sure that our students would continue to receive that wonderful event. And they came out and they did a fantastic job. And if you walk out there, it is a credit to these men who want to give so much back to our community. And I would really like to thank the Clampers, and we would like to honor them today. Thank you. The next individual we're going to honor is Debbie Miller. Debbie Miller is the librarian at our campus. And I will tell you, she has served us for many years, but I'm going to talk very specifically about this year. We started out this year by moving the library. And she came in and put in countless hours making sure everything was arranged and everything was right. So when we started our year, our students had an opportunity to use our library. And that was something she did on her own because she's only working for us part-time. But I will tell you, she is there over and above the time that she's required to be there. She puts in time for our students before school starts. She puts in time. We have our Read Across America. She has books out for the kids. When you go to our Ookie Spooky Night, there is someone there who also has books out for kids. She is a lady who is out serving our students every single day and making sure that they have an opportunity to read. And she has done just a fantastic job, and I know I'm speaking to this year, but I'd like to say in the 7 years I've been there, she has done an outstanding job of being there for students. Thank you very much. And now for our A-plus employee for our certificated staff. That goes to Dan Pingle. I've already told you about our morning in the garden, which I can't say the number of years he's done this before I actually showed up at Olivehurst. But this is a man who is dedicated to serving students and to provide means for students to feel good about themselves, to learn in an environment that may be different for the normal student. But for them, it's a place where they get excited about school. The great thing about Dan is anytime we need somebody to do something, he is always there to step up. Whenever we need some type of materials for our Ookie Spooky Night, it's amazing that 15 to 20 bales of hay will just show up, be thrown out of a truck by him, by himself, and that very night after it's done at 9 o'clock, 9:30, when he's done running around, he'll be chucking him back up there in the truck and not letting anybody else help him. He wants to get it done himself. He's that same man who's there, and he's been there with the Clampers when we have our back-to-school barbecue. He's the same man who in the morning in the garden will show up with a truckload of watermelon just so that everybody gets a chance to have a piece. He's the man who spends countless extra hours in the garden for our students, who comes over the summer and works there so that they have a place to go. He's a man dedicated to students because he is somebody who, above and beyond just the students he's supposed to service, he will go out of his way to help any kid on our campus. He will actually go out of his way to help any person on our campus. This man was missed for a few weeks this year, and I can't tell you what a hole that was, and it was so wonderful to get him back. This man provides service to all. Mr. Dan Pingle.
school report to Olive Hurst Elementary School, please.
I'm actually going to take this out. As most of you have seen, the school report is in front of you, so I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to highlight a few things, and then as for my normal when I've done this is I feel a picture is worth 1,000 words, and since you all know I will spend 2,000 to 3,000 words on that picture, it's probably better that you see the picture. Our school has undergone a great transformation, and you guys will get an opportunity to see those pictures in just a little bit. We grew as a school last year as far as our population, and we are continuing to do that. This year, we're up around, depending on the day, we've peaked at 574 students. Right now, we're at 556, and I do know we're enrolling some kids tomorrow, so that number will change again. It's a wonderful place to be. We have over 160 kids who come in as inter-district transfers, meaning they want to be there. They're coming to our school because we're doing something right. And I will tell you, as you've seen some of the people out here who contribute to our school and our community, you can see why. They provide fabulous support to our students and to our parents. As far as our API, which was the last year of API, we stayed the same, but our population did change quite a bit. And so I was actually really proud of how our teachers and our students approached that. And they did a very good job of maintaining where we were without losing in a year where several schools actually lost points. So that was something we did well. We do provide a lot of services for students. We do have an RTI schedule where every student is getting reading instruction at their level at the same time. We do have wonderful opportunities where our students are getting tutored, not at a 20-to-1, but at an 8-to-1 ratio. And we do provide that school-wide, grades 1st through 6th grade. We do have collaboration. Every Monday that we can, there are certain Mondays we do miss for holidays, whatever, et cetera. We do have teachers get to meet for 40 minutes a day, grades K through 6. So for 40 minutes a day on Mondays, all of our students go out with a teacher to do PE while our grade level teachers are having the opportunity to articulate. We have introduced our new Common Core standards. That is something we are working on. We are receiving trainings on. We're very blessed that we have a couple of members on our staff who are actually really part of the lead in their grade levels for the entire district. So we have some wonderful individuals who are serving our students and our district at Olive Hurst Elementary. One of the greatest things that I will say about this school is that we have incredible community support. For anybody who's been at our back-to-school barbecue where you see around 500 people show up just to see, hey, whose class am I in? They come and look. For those of you, and I know several of you have been there, if you've come to our Ookie Spooky Night, where we've had estimated, and I'm going to use someone else's estimate, not mine, over 1,200 people there, kids running around, it's free. We don't charge anything. Kids show up. This is a free opportunity, a safe opportunity for our community to gather and to be a part of our school. And as you can see by some of the individuals out here again, people show up. They want to be a part of our school community. We come to our events in the spring. We have Read Across America Day, where we had several airmen come out. We have firefighters come out. We have sheriffs come out. We have members of the community, including board members, who show up to read. It is a wonderful opportunity there. And then at the end of our year, we come up with our Morning in the Garden. And again, we get an opportunity for our students, our families, and our community to come out and see what a wonderful place it is. Olive Hurst Elementary provides what I would like to say is more of a unique education opportunity. There's places where we get to interact with our kids outside. There are places where our kids get to interact with our community in a very positive way. And that's something I'll note when we get to our slideshow. You're going to see several businesses and people who have contributed to our school this year. And that speaks to the gentleman behind me. We had so many people who are a part of our school community, so many people who want to come and help, that we are very fortunate as a school. We're blessed, and we would love to invite you all to come out and visit. And I'm going to end there, and I'm going to show you a quick slideshow, and then I will answer any questions if you have them.
found a turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of it, that's a known as why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind, hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Fantastic replacement for the portables that we had previously, and I would like to thank you for that. Our community would like to thank you for that. It is a great place for our kids to go in. And so I would like to say thank you before opening it up to questions.
Questions?
We should say thank you to themselves. They're the ones that voted for the bond. And we're very proud that we can help foster that attitude and go forward with this. The community should thank themselves because they're the ones.
Mr. Dental? Mr. Rick?
It's been a while since I've been out there, a couple of months, but everything just seems to be running at a great pace and great attitude from the kids and out on the ground. So we appreciate the work that you've done, too. I do, certainly.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes. At this point in time, I believe it's 556.
Yeah. Do we have, are we coming up with a formula when we're going to add that clerks to some of these schools? Because, you know, that's always been my concern, that we're working these people, splitting it with them.
Yes, as we are working to complete our LCAP, which is the plan for spending the local control funding formula, Ms. Ryland has been working on a weighted formula based on the new funding sources, and so that will be brought to you very shortly.
Good, because that is my concern, again, for schools that have half-time clerks when I've been in there and seen the what they're trying to do to make it work.
Yes. Yeah, I enjoy going out there and visiting once in a while. The staff is fantastic. I enjoy talking with Jimmy when I get a chance, especially about golf. But yeah, it's a great place. The staff, I think, enjoys trying to get the kids to learn, and they foster that, kids learning. It's how important it is. So they do a fantastic job out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say that as clean as your campus was on the slides, it was just as clean last month as I was there, so it's not an illusion. And it was very nice to see Mrs. Miller again after so many years. And congratulations, and thanks for all the time you put in. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, then, back to comments from the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Boone.
Jimmy, thank you very much for everything you do out there at your school. Thank you again to those of you who participate from the community and the schools. We can't do it without you. And like Mr. Harris said, the taxpayers of Yuba County are the ones that voted for the bonds. We were an avenue. Business Services Office was really, really instrumental in doing the work. So, you know, they need to pat themselves on the back. But last week I had an opportunity to go to a couple of the Foothill schools for award ceremonies. So those were nice. And attended the FFA dinner along with Mr. Harris, about 11 or 5 to 11, 6-hour dinner. So, but they did a really nice job, the FFA kids. It appears raised quite a bit of money for their program, so that was really nice to go to.
Thank you. Mr. Miller? Mr. Fleury?
The Yuba Gardens dinner, it was their third annual, and I understand they raised $16,100. But the amazing thing was to see so many staff members there. The principal and vice principal were so involved. Some of the prizes were amazing. Trips for a week. Some of them went on silent auction. They went for $50, $100 for a week's trip. Cindy. My God. Freudian slip. The new principal had put together a basket to Disneyland that was worth over $1,500. And people were bidding on those. It was a great event. Jolie was very involved in it. But there were so many staff members that came, community members, and I kind of picked between that and the ag dinner, but since that is my area. But they just really need to be commended. They just did a great job, like all of our schools. People are involved, and that's what it takes now to get our schools to where they're at, get people involved, get the community involved, because it's all three: community, the staff, and the everyone to make it work. And they've certainly, that was a thing, they made it work. It was unbelievable Saturday night. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Rack?
A couple of notes. Thanks to the Clampers again. On Thursday, this coming Thursday, something of interest, I think, is that Kynoch, they're going to have a talent program put on by the 4th and 5th grades, and that's at 1 o'clock on Thursday. And it sounds to me like that's going to be one of those things that will be very interesting. I got a chance to go see Hairspray, the MCAA play. I think there must have been at least 100 kids on stage at some times. So tremendously successful, did a great job. To see our high school track and field teams. Lyndhurst and Marysville will be at Yuba College tomorrow in the afternoon and early evening. I think there are some phenomenal athletes in the district and around the league, so it's a chance to see them tomorrow. And Holly will be there, okay? She's a defending league champion herself, so we'll go from there. And the last thing is Yuba Sutter Youth of the Year, sponsored by the Marysville Exchange Club. The boy and girl will be honored on Wednesday, tomorrow, and it'll be at the Pizza Roundup at Covalot on 19th Street. So hopefully we'll have the appeal there and those kinds of things to honor those kids who have really excelled in our area. That's it for me.
2 weeks ago on a Friday, I got a terrible phone call, and as I responded from my home.
home in East Marysville, to Eileen Scott's area. Before I could, by the time I got there, many times we just assume our superintendent works an 8-to-5 day and that's it. But Friday night, when I arrived there, she was already there making sure each and every one of those students were getting their rides home. Mr. Roper was there, Bobby Vardell, Jolie Carrion. So as tragic as that moment was, Dr. Todd, thank you. And Mr. Danable was there too. Thank you, Mr. Danable.
I'm fine, thanks.
Mr. Harris.
I would just like to kind of echo what everybody else is saying. A lot of things happening, a lot of places are growing. But also, Holly just was recognized for some basketball accomplishments. Why don't you tell us what those were?
I was recently named All-Area for basketball, and I received All-League for the basketball team, and I also won the Northern California Sports Association Scholarship, along with another girl from River Valley.
Yeah, so. I could not have done that.
Wow, that's great. That's more than a slight accomplishment, Holly. That's tremendous. It really is. That's great. Any other comments, Board? If not, it's time for our employee organizations. Would anyone like to speak? Madam President?
Hello. Inga Schlesler-Muda, President. I sort of feel like, other than all the wonderful stuff with Olive Hurst, if I hadn't put something on the agenda, you wouldn't have a reason to meet, so sorry about that. we're sunshining our initial proposal tonight, and rather than speaking at that time, I just thought I'd come up right now briefly, very briefly. It's salary and benefits, which is a given, and the two articles that we've asked to open are class size and transfer and reassignment. And I just want to take a quick opportunity to talk about class size for a second. I have a study that I'd like to pass out, and I will as soon as I get done here. A couple of highlighted areas. Class size is an important determinant of a variety of student outcomes, ranging from test scores to broader life outcomes. Smaller classes are particularly effective at raising achievement levels of low-income and minority children. Money saved today by increasing class sizes will result in more substantial social and educational costs in the future. While lower class size has a demonstrable cost, it may prove the more cost-effective policy overall long-term. This is from a particular study. Students who were originally assigned to small classes did better than their schoolmates who were assigned to regular size classes across a variety of outcomes, including juvenile criminal behavior, teen pregnancy, high school graduation, college enrollment and completion, quality of college attended, savings behaviors, marriage rates, residential location, and home ownership. So as we proceed, I know that part of our association's input for the LCAP included reducing class sizes, and it's not just what we've talked about so much, the K-3, but throughout class sizes and caseloads for those of us who aren't regular classroom teachers, such as our counselors, nurses, librarian, and speech-language therapists. So looking at caseloads also. And I'd like you to have a chance to read some of these things. It's kind of a in-depth research paper, but you might enjoy it.
Thank you.
And class size.
Thank you. We have a public comment. I have one card. Mr. Jason Roper.
Good evening, everybody. I have to start off by saying it's nice to see Glenn dressed up and not in golf attire. I haven't seen him in a tie for a while. So tonight I have had the opportunity to speak to a few of you in regards to what Mr. Crawford mentioned, the Friday night accident, the train accident. And I, too, was called out to that scene as part of my job. I work with victim services, for those of you that don't know. But I just wanted to say what a great job that everybody I encountered or the staff, the people that work with me encountered that night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday of the following week at the school. Tim Malone did a fantastic job of responding to the tragedy, calling people out, asking for help. The school psychologists that were present on Monday morning were phenomenal. I have to say that, you know, my job is to deal with people in crisis all the time, and the staff that I work with, and we're accustomed to that atmosphere. And while, you know, dealing with children that are having difficulties at school may be considered a crisis, it's a little different than what was encountered during that week. And they did a fantastic job. It was probably, this sounds awful, but the best response to any crisis in the last 14 years that I've seen, that I've worked where I work, working hand in hand with the district. And I think I have to say that the site plans and the school safety plans, you know, I sit on two site councils in this district, and probably for the last 8 years I thought it was a waste of time. But seeing one of those site plans actually being put into practice and followed, our safety plans, was phenomenal. So I came here tonight to just say what a great job that the staff did. Some of you I had the opportunity to see over at Alan Scott Center later on in the evening. I was out doing other things, but a phenomenal response, and I think definitely the staff should be commended and recognized in some way. You know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of people that show up here to hear what I'm having to say, so I hope that all of you can convey my message to them. And I have, you know, spoken with some of the people at MCAA as well. So I have two other things. I know I have 3 minutes. I've probably already gone over.
No, keep.
Okay. The first is that the family of Mateus Moore wanted me to share with you that there will be a celebration of life on Saturday at 6 p.m. I will have to email Gay, who can get it out to you guys. They did not get back to me prior to me walking up here on the place of that, so if anybody wanted to attend. The second would be Michaela is home. Michaela Friend is home. She's doing very well. I'm not sure if you guys have heard. She's expected to make a full recovery. The last thing is, so I guess I had three things, not two. On Thursday evening as well at Kovalad, there will be a play that's put on by the STARS program. It's at 5 o'clock. So I know you guys get reports from schools and you get to hear what's happening throughout the district. I will tell you that the STARS program at Kovalad is phenomenal. I use that word a lot, but it's fantastic. They do a lot of very creative and innovative things. And so there's kids from first grade all the way up to fifth grade that are going to be participating in this play. And it will be the first STARS play at Kovalad, but it's going to be a great event. So
second play,
I'm sorry. Yes, sorry, second play.
Musical.
They had... That's a musical. This is a play.
All right.
So thank you guys. Again, just a great job that your staff did, and that's why I came tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Any questions, guys? Good job, man. Really. To all of you, and especially Jason, the victims' awareness, over 300 people. Now, superintendent's report, please.
This evening, since I have a later speaking part, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Okay. Throwing me off, huh? Okay, the approval of minutes, this is one motion. No one absent. Mr. Miller made a motion, and he'll change his vote to change his vote to no on March 25th. Is that correct, Mr. Miller? I wish I could.
How about March 20th?
Okay. Well, I believe it or not, I probably should have. I just had somewhere in there. Let's do March 20th. Do I have a motion for approval?
Move to approve.
In a minute.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Now we got. Who made the motion? You need to announce who made the motion.
That's right. The motion was made by Mr. Reck. Or seconded by Mr. Miller. Who looks a lot like Mr. Harris. Okay. Now, March 25th. We did vote, or maybe we did. All in favor?
Aye.
Any dissent? 7, aye. Okay.
And then March 25th meeting?
March 25th. Is that when Mr. Miller made a motion to change his vote to no? Is that correct?
No.
We're
good.
We're good with all that then. Okay.
Okay.
Do I have a motion then to approve the meeting of March 25th?
I'll move to approve the March 25th minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion for Mr. Reck and a second for Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. 7. I know. Made a motion. That's why I'm sorry.
Yes, we were going to do that. As you may obviously forgotten, we were going to correct the motion and the second on the expulsion matter in closed session. That's what Mr. Miller was talking about. Mr. Miller is recorded as having made the motion and made the second, when in fact Mr. Miller made the motion and Mr. Danable made the second. So we do need to amend the minutes to reflect the correct motion and second, as I just stated.
So I wasn't totally wrong yet?
No.
Just partially. As Mrs. Todd just eloquently stated, do I have a motion to approve? Mr. Danable, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, we did a motion. This motion is to correct the minutes from the March 25th meeting. Item number one, matters pertaining to students, where the correct minutes should read, on motion by Mr. Miller, seconded by Mr. Danable. So the motion was to amend the minutes from the March 25th meeting, and we had Mr. Danable make the motion, Mr. Rex make the second, and now we have the vote, which is...
Aye.
Unanimous. We had to vote unanimous.
Thank
and
you.
Lisa, I apologize. I had written that down, just worded it improperly. The consent agenda.
There is one correction on the consent agenda. You notice I was really quick on this one.
Yes.
On item number 2, classified employment, the second item should read campus supervisor Lyndhurst High School 6 hours, not 8 hours. So that's a change on item 2 under personnel services, the second item for the campus supervisor, Lyndhurst High School.
All right, any other questions this consent item? If not, do I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to.
We have a motion by Mr. Harris?
Yes, I'll second.
And a second by Mr. Danville. All in favor?
Aye.
That's 7. That's the end of the consent agenda. Old business. There is no old business. Personnel services. Hold a public meeting. Initial bargaining proposal from UTA to the MJUSD board. Mr. Carrion?
Yes, thank you and good evening to all. Just as you stated, the board is being asked to hold a public hearing at this particular time in order to recognize the initial proposal from the Marysville Unified Teachers Association to the district. And as such, we'll go through the process of officially holding the public hearing and then a necessary step at the next meeting to ultimately approve the recognition.
Thank you. discussion? Open for public hearing? Thank you. It's duly noted.
If no one is rushing to the podium, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. We have a motion to close the public hearing and a second from Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. A 7 yes. All right. Item number 2, Resolution 2013-14/27, classified particular kinds of service to be eliminated.
Yes, thank you again. This particular resolution and agenda item calls for the board to consider the elimination of classified particular kinds of service, and through this process, if the board were to approve, it would then allow for staff to properly notify those affected by the particular kinds of service reduction and or elimination in accordance with statutes that give them a 60-day notice. If and in the event of a bumping process, those employees in the zone of a layoff will be given at an abundance of caution, will be given a layoff notice as well. But ultimately, as bumping plays out and whatever return rights an employee may have to a former position in which they were considered a permanent employee, those rights will be afforded to each of the employees in a discussion and also be given to them in writing. And more importantly, it would allow for staff to properly notice anybody in the zone of layoffs and or receive their statutory required 60-day notice. What should be noted is that some of these layoffs are as a result of site-based budget uncertainties, and in all likelihood, with regards to site-based funding, these employees will likely return, and if not, they too will be afforded their bumping opportunities into other positions where they once held permanency. After all that, we recommend the board approve the resolution through a roll call vote, and which would afford staff to notify those affected by the layoff.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier. Any questions from staff?
Well, I know that he explained it to us well, how this is going to work. I was going to pull it, but I got a good explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Any other questions? I'm going to make a roll call vote. I will start with Mr. Boom. Mr. Boom? I'll make a motion, please, first.
Thank you.
Motion by Mr. Harris.
Second.
And a second by Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And do roll call. Now go one by one.
Mr. Boom?
Yes.
Mr. Miller?
Abstain.
Abstain?
Yes.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Rett?
Yes.
Mr. Crawford, yes. Mr.
Yes.
Danable, yes.
Yes.
Mr. Harris, yes. We have 6 yes and 1 abstain. Is that correct? Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item is discussion of board trustees for the Alicia School property.
Mr. Chairman, I ask this to be on the agenda. And I would like to say that Alicia School, the baseball field's been there for years, and some members of the board, I was hoping to get more information, but some of the members of the board, and myself included, don't understand what we can do and what we can't do as far as those fields go. And I think they're very important to the community. To give you a little history, in the early 1950s, the people of Windward Olivers came together in order to start Little League program. Since Alicia was the hub of many activities in the area, and the school property was in an ideal location for kids of both communities to come together, it was decided that it would be a good place to put the baseball fields. The parents of the Little League and Linda School District agreed that it would be a dollar a year for, I believe it was 99 years, would be sufficient rent. The two communities started putting together the Little League baseball program. The main field was built by the people of the community with donated money by the community businesses and individuals. The generations of the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now the 2000s have added other baseball fields and many other improvements that are not found anywhere in that community. It is my understanding that the Marysville Joint Unified School District has not contributed any funds for these improvements. The district has left it to the Little League to maintain the area where the baseball fields are. So the cost to the district has been nothing. The cost to Little League has been the labor, time, and donations. Now, what can we do to make sure that the Oliver Slinda Little League will still be able to have these baseball fields for their use in the future? That's why I was hoping for a discussion today. I have found information in the Ed Code. This is part of one of the things in the Ed Code. The governing board of the school district may sell for less than the fair market value property that is deemed to be surplus. The school district's offer to sell the land should be made to all parks, park districts, cities, counties in which the school district is wholly or partially situated. Government code also. The state legislature reaffirms its belief that there is an indefinable deficiencies in the amount of land available for recreational purposes, and surplus land prior to disposition should be made available to parks and recreation services. As used in this article, the term local agency means cities, counties, districts, including school districts of all kinds. Nothing in this article shall be interpreted to limit the power of any local agency to sell or lease surplus land at a fair market value or less than the fair market value. And I think these fields, like I say, it's been in that area for generations, and they are very important to that area. And there are no other fields in that area that they can't be replaced. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a discussion item. Board members? Mr. Todd?
I'd like to give a little more background. Mr. Miller is correct in his citation of the government code and Ed Code. But on May 25th, 2011, I appeared before the Office of Public School Construction to facilitate and hopefully to have them award our district a hardship facility status for the Alicia property. That would allow us to transfer our pupil grants from that site to the new property. As such, the committee did render an opinion, and if we want to keep our 596 pupil grants, they had some conditions. So what you have in the packet that I handed out to you is the cover sheet, which is the minutes from that meeting from the Office of Public School Construction. And if you look at the third page, one of the provisions for keeping our pupil grants was to, number three, provided that if the district opts to sell the existing site, the site will be sold at fair market value and 50% of the proceeds would be remitted to the state. The next page, which is page four, has a letter to the Chief of Policy and Programs for the Office of Public School Construction, where the former CBO, Mark Allgaier, wrote a letter specific to this item, which is the last paragraph on the page four, talking about the Oliver's Little League being on part of the school property. I do have a map that's probably a little better than the one that's in the packet, And you can see that the ball fields are about half, about 22 of the 45 acres of that property. Mr. Allgaier was seeing if the state would be agreeable to changing their decision to allow us to gift or to have an exchange of that property with the Oliphurst Little League. The final page, which is page 7, is the decision rendered by the Chief of Policy Program Services, and it is highlighted for you. It says, should the district decide to sell the existing site or any part thereof, the site must be sold at fair market value and 50% of the proceeds shall be reduced from any grant provided for the hardship facility project. Mr. Miller has provided you with, provided Mr. Crawford, I should say, with the government code. And certainly we can move in that direction, but I need direction from the board as to whether you are willing to send 100% of the remaining property proceeds to the state so that we can build our new school on the Hamilton Smartsville property, or some other method that you'd like to do that. If we want to proceed, we do need to check into seeing whether we need to develop a 7-11 committee, which is required once we have deemed this to be surplus. The current parcel would need to be separated into two separate parcels, one for the Little League and one for the remaining property, and then we would need to get a current appraisal of the property. So at this point, I just would need direction from the board as to how you'd like me to proceed.
Go ahead. If I'm hearing that correctly, if we give away half that property and sell the rest, then all of that money, we would gain nothing. We have to give that half to the state. And I'm concerned because I didn't think we had any intention at all to do anything with the Little League fields. All of the Little League fields are pretty much handled by the communities, and I don't remember anybody saying that we were going to do anything else with the Little League fields at all. That's my...
Well, as things stand right now, the school district can sell that whole property off if it gets an offer right this minute. I'm talking about future boards, the future of the league, the future of the kids, the future of what happens there. There are no other ball fields out in that area that duplicates what's there now. Now, Ed Code, section 17230, says we can sell them at below market value. Also, government code, section 54220, says the same thing. We can sell them below market value to an entity that has a park district. Now, we have Oliver's Public Utility, who has a park district out there. That is, Mr. Harris brought up the subject, why should we go sell to Oliver's? Those are in the Oliver's zip code.
So we would sell it to another board who would be elected and
so
could change it any time?
So they would be where they belong. They belong to the people of the community. Now, you're thinking of right now. Think of what happened when they came into being. When that Marysville Joint Unified School District wasn't even thought of. We had Linda School District. This school district, the people of that district, Linda and Oliverst, come together and put the school in as well as the ball fields. This school, Licia School, was donated, I'm assuming, from the federal government to the people of Oliverst to put in a school. If you would have gone out there in the late 40s, you would have seen buildings that were tar papered. Teachers had to get there before the students during the wintertime in order to stoke the fires to keep them warm in those buildings. And that property is important to the people. It's been there for the people. The people of that community decided what was going on, not the people of Marysville Joint Unified.
Like I said, you do realize that the money that we would use for building a new school, that half that we would get from selling the old school would be gone because the government's going to assess the entire acreage, including the ball fields, as having been part of that property. So if half is deeded away, then the other half will go to the government when they, and if it's sold. And what I don't understand is that where somebody got the idea that we were going to do anything with the Little League itself at all in that area to take away. Nobody's going to take away that field. And if we sold to another board that's elected just like we are, who's to say in X number of years down the road that board changes and says, we want to sell the ball fields?
I have one thing maybe to clarify some of this a little bit. If I remember right, Dr. Todd, didn't Mr. Allgaier have the foresight to mitigate new ball fields at the new site, if that site's built?
Yes,
because that was... he was afraid of this exact thing happening, of Oliver's Little League losing their ball fields, so they did mitigate something, yes. I recall, to do new facilities.
Yes, that was the plan when we heard that we would have to sell all of the property. And then also it was further reinforced when we had the second letter for clarification from the Office of Public School Construction that 50% of the fair market value of that property would have to go back to the state, or we jeopardize our 596 pupil grants, which we need for building the new school site.
So you're telling me that the people from the foothills, people from Marysville, are going to okay building baseball diamonds for the little guys on school property? They're gonna okay that? I don't think so.
Well, the students that used to occupy the Alicia school site from that residential area will be someday attending the new intermediate school, which will also have ballparks, if the board chooses to put ballparks in there as replacement for the Little League fields. We allow community to use our fields all the time. Little League uses a lot of our school sites after school, on weekends, holidays.
Yeah, you're correct. But you have regulation-sized fields for the little guys as well as the big guys. Now, you're going to put money into a T-League field. Marysville is going to okay that. Foothills is going to okay that. I'm sorry, Mr. Harris. No, I didn't mean you.
I wish you quit doing that, Mr. Harris. Yeah.
I apologize. Yeah, I apologize for that. I don't think, why should the people from Marysville pay for something out in Linda and Oliver's? That's number two. You have the perfect site for the ball field, for the Little League, because it's right on the border of Linda and Oliverhurst. The kids can ride their bikes without fear to those parks, and that's what most of them do.
That's the situation now. I'd say leave it the way it is. If it's good now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
There are no plans at the current time to sell the property. There never have been.
My daughter played on those fields in her excellent, yeah. And as far as I know, since the 50s, they've always been maintained by community members, correct?
The what? The Little League, yeah.
Yeah.
Little League's always maintained them, yes.
Do you think that at some time that the community members would
give
up on it?
I think at some time members of, not the members of the board at this time, and I understand what Mr. Reck is saying. We, the board here, doesn't necessarily want to get rid of them. What I'm afraid of is 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, when none of us are on this board, somebody, let's get rid of them, let's sell them. And I can't see that. They're, like I say, you have how many generations put work into that those ball fields.
It goes back as far as Earl Yorton, and I understand your concerns.
Yeah.
But then I could not foresee any...
But if you sold it to OPUD, they could do the same
exactly.
thing 5 or 10 years from now.
Because in here it says they will have to maintain it as is for the next 25 years, I believe it is.
Well,
okay. And they do have a park program.
But no matter what the statutes say in Ed Code or anything, we've got a letter that says if we sell half that property, when we sell the remainder, we get all those back to the state and we get nothing for the new school. That's what it says. No, it's not. Nah, that's what it says. Read the letter. That's what it says. If we sell it, if we sell half of it, the other half, when it's sold, has to go to the state.
And we have the concern of the 596 pupil grant, Mr. Miller. Well, I think that road's been traveled.
Yeah.
But I remember what Jeff was talking about. I remember clearly Mark said, if we have to do that with the grants, we will allocate the end of the new property to put the ball fields in and put the equal amount of ball fields in.
Remember
that very clearly.
And the new piece of property backs up to another community park.
That's right.
So there's plenty of room for ballparks.
It backs up to the Yuba County Access Park.
But that's...
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Miller, I would do not envision anybody eliminating the Oliver's Little Lake fields.
Gay, do you have a value or Terry, what the 596 pupil grants? Is there
That's
a dollar value
question.
We can put on that?
I just asked.
No, certainly I could find out what that is, but right now we're talking about considerable dollars. That's what builds the school.
Mr. Denable?
I don't have the current numbers, but I think those grants are multiple thousands per student. So, you know, to the extent it's five, if it's $5,000 a student, then you're looking at $2.5 million. I mean, just as an example. But I think that those were like in the I think they were multiple thousands per. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. How much does it cost to build a new school? Just off the top of the head, anybody have any idea?
What
just
elementary?
A question.
I mean, elementary.
6,000 or six? Excuse me, 6 million.
Oh no! More tens of millions.
I'm sorry.
Tens of millions. I mean, 20.
Okay.
25.
We spent over six million. We spent $7 million to buy two pieces of property in Wheeler Ranch, south of Oliverhurst. We don't even have enough money to build a new school for the people in Linda. Why did we spend that money? Because the future prices may be higher. That's the only reason.
I don't know what to say. Mr. Miller, and we don't want to shut you off.
Well, working with the demography and the demographics at the time and the way the county was growing, they were... You know, you're going back to decisions that we made as a board, you know, 6-7 years ago, and they were telling us within, you know, 6-7 years we would be ready to build sites down there, build schools down there. And then we had the economy collapse and everything. You know, nobody can predict the future. We wish we could. I mean, it would be nice. It'd make everybody's business a lot easier. But, you know, that played into the decision that the board had made at that time was the demographics and the numbers that we were getting from the experts. So
there are no experts.
Well,
Mr. Miller, all I know is we all reside in different entities in Yuba County, the Foothills, Marysville. You're exactly right. I cannot envision any group eliminating Earl Yorton or Oliver's Little League Fields. I really couldn't. And not subsequently be eliminated from whatever board that they sat on. It's so remote, I can't even foresee it.
But it is, we mitigated it by having
exactly.
a place at the new site that backs up to a county park.
Any other Discussion.
Well, I don't know that that's bad.
This is, and that's, I think we all had kids that have played on those fields. This was a discussion item. If there's no other discussion. No, thank you, Mr. Miller, for bringing it up. Before we close, though, Mrs. Hannibal.
Yeah. Just so I know for myself, regarding these ball fields, if we sell that place, if we buy a new school, are we sure that we're going to be able to put the ballparks in?
Tony, we have property already, and we've already set it up so that there is room for the ballparks, and they back right to a county park.
Okay, but if we sell that property that those ball fields are on first before we ever build anything, they could be outfields. In other words, the district could say tomorrow, let's sell that piece of property.
A preliminary map. I don't know if you guys remember looking at that preliminary map. If I remember correctly, there's two ball fields. One's a softball and one's a baseball. And that was it. There are no T-League balls, fields. There's no small softball fields. There's, the little guys are left out. You got high school and that's it. Now, if you look at that map, and the preliminary plans. That's all you have planned for. You have not planned for the Little League.
I think it needs more investigation. I think this maybe needs to be updated. This is from 2011. Let's see if we have any other options.
The State Allocations Board has made their ruling, so we would not be taking it back to them. So... It's if you want to keep those 596 pupil grants, you need to abide by what they're laying out as the conditions. The district can certainly sell the property and send that amount of money to the state agency, the 50%. You can send 50% of the whole parcel, you can send 100% of half the parcel and still maintain your pupil grants. But there is a cost to the district.
And I'm disputing your 50%. I don't think the Little League has 50% of that property.
Well, it's between 22 and 24 acres of the 45-acre site, so it is slightly less. So I'm using round numbers. So whatever that would be, it's about half of the site in round numbers.
I'll meet you out there in the morning and we'll measure it out.
Nah, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I say. It's whatever the surveyor says.
Well, thank you for the lively discussion. Before I adjourn, though, Mr. Fleury would like to adjourn in memory of a very beloved individual.
Died yesterday morning. Mr. Griego, the father of the supervisor, he's been involved in our district. His daughter has been involved in our district for many years. He had three restaurants in the area. The service will be held on Sunday at Plumas Lake. I know it's very hard in his family. He has worked very hard to make a mark in this community, and he certainly has. So I would like to close the meeting in memory of Duke Griego.
We will then adjourn in memory of Duke, and our next regular meeting will be May 13th. Have a great Easter. This meeting is adjourned.